start streaming.
Down here, but I might. Yes, right.
Yeah, as soon as it pulls it up, you can hit go live. Matter of fact, you can do it.
I want to pick my body out.
All right. Oh, good to see y'all tonight.
I just don't know.
We have to set
Take the Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Break them out.
All right, 1 Corinthians 15. And since we've come up, let's see, this coming Sunday is what they call Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey. And then the next Sunday will be Resurrection Sunday. So, you know, last week we were talking about 3 days, three nights, where Jesus, you know, when did he die and all that kind of thing. And so I thought tonight we would look at the different resurrections in the Bible. There's actually more than one. And we'll look at those tonight very quickly if we can. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. By now, I hope you're there. Look at verse number 20. And let's talk about the resurrection. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 15 is probably what they call the resurrection chapter. Look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's Adam. Adam brought death. By man, that's Jesus Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. So when a person's born, they're born into Adam. Everybody's going to die.
Right.
But if you get saved, and that second Adam, that last Adam, will resurrect you from the dead. You ever thought about this, and I think I've said it many, many times, but if they ever find, they're not going to, so stay in your seat, and it's everything going to stay calm. But if they ever find a finger, a little bitty toe of the Lord Jesus Christ, we might as well sell everything and go home and go fishing.
Right.
Because without the resurrection, there's no sense in coming Sunday.
Right.
There's no sense in being here tonight.
Amen.
Right.
Can you imagine, you know, the Muslims and the Buddhists and all of those, Buddha is in he's still in the grave.
Right.
They have, they think about this. Well, my mind's going crazy. If they have a finger of Buddha, they have his whole body, I guess in a pine box somewhere. Their religion runs just fine with a dead leader. Muhammad is dead. And their religion runs just fine with a dead leader. But if our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still dead, we have no religion.
Amen.
We can pack up and go home.
Amen.
And so that's what he's talking about. If now Christ has risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. Now look at verse 22. For as in Adam all die. We just said it a few minutes ago. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now watch this. Verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, which when he shall have put it all rule and authority and power. Of course, that's talking about the kingdom. Now, there's more than one resurrection. If you remember the story in John chapter number 11, Lazarus died, and the two sisters, Mary and Martha, came to Jesus and said, "Where have you been? If you'd have been here, Lazarus would still be alive." And And of course, you know, Jesus says, hey, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again.
Yeah.
One of the sisters says, yeah, we know that there's a resurrection at the end. And that's a common belief, that there's just one resurrection. Everybody goes up. And if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you go to heaven. If you've been worse than you've been good, you go to hell. And that God just sort of divides everybody right there. No, that's nowhere in the Bible. Matter of fact, there's actually 7 different resurrections. I'm going to go over with you very quickly. The first one is the main one, is the main focus, and that's when the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead. That's what we're fixing to celebrate here in a couple of Sundays, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus dies on the cross for our sins, and he was buried, and his body goes to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He looks to the Father, he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. His soul goes down to Abraham's bosom. Everybody in the Old Testament that died in faith went to Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go to heaven. We've already been over this, but I'm going to do it again for those that may be watching at home. In the Old Testament, somebody that died in faith could not go straight to heaven. They had to go to Abraham's bosom. They called it paradise. Why? Because Jesus Christ had to be the first fruits of the resurrection. He had to be the first one to go. And so what he does, he goes down to Abraham's bosom, and there are people down there, and he cleans all of them out, gets them in single file line. He dumps your sins off into hell. And then on that third and appointed day, up from the grave he arose, triumphant for his foes. He arose the victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
Right.
On the first day of the week, which is Sunday, you think about this. Every Sunday morning, Christians all over the world picture the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I saw on a sign, a church sign, I can't remember where it's at, it's been some time ago, it says, Christians celebrate Easter every Sunday. I know we just have it this one particular time of year, but hey, Resurrection Sunday is every Sunday. Because you picture that as a saved person, you've been asleep all night in the dark. The alarm goes off. You wake up. And you arise out of bed, you take off your bed clothes, and you put on your church clothes, and you come down to the house of God. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He went down, and of course they stripped him of all of his other clothes. When he come up, hey, one of these days, when the trumpet sounds, we'll get to this in just a minute, when the trumpet sounds, the alarm clock, some of your loved ones been asleep a long time, the alarm clock's going to go off.
Amen.
They're going to take off the old rag clothes,
yep.
Going to get brand new ones.
Yep.
Amen.
You picture that every Sunday.
Yeah. But
most everybody does. Yeah. Some just lay in there in the bed, won't give up the dead. And just keep laying in there.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to on the first day of the week is picture that resurrection and get up. The first fruits is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first day of the week, he told Lazarus a few minutes, or reading a while ago, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. So, that one's number one, and that is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the tomb is empty tonight. And he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for me and for you. Now, this next one, the second resurrection, look at Matthew 27. And let's look at this one. I don't know, maybe you've heard preaching on this one before, but you don't hear about this very often. Matthew 27, this is at the crucifixion. Notice what it says here, verse 50. Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Verse 51, and behold, the veil in the temple rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, the reason, if you'll remember, just in passing, because we read the verse, one in the Old Testament, they had to come through the priest, and there was a veil there. And that veil said, keep out, you can't come back here, you can't come back here. The general public couldn't go back there. Just the high priest, one time a year, he'd go back behind that veil. That's Old Testament. But see, when Jesus died and he gave up the ghost and he said, it is finished, the veil in that temple tore from top to bottom. You say, why did it say from top to bottom? It's because there's no way man could have done that from top to bottom. If man would have done it, it would have been bottom to top. But God did this.
Amen.
And tore it and laid that thing open. What that means is, after the cross, we can all boldly come into the throne room of grace anytime we get ready.
Amen.
There's nothing there that says, keep out.
Right.
You imagine, this is just, again, my mind racing when I read these verses. In the Old Testament, let's just say right before the crucifixion, you do realize this was Passover. They were in that temple killing a lamb. The Jews did not realize the Lamb of God was dying. At the same time, they were killing a lamb in the temple. When Jesus dies, the earth, the rocks rent, earthquake, and them priests are in there killing that lamb, and all of a sudden they see that tear start in that veil. You have to realize, those Jews know they can't go back there, and if they do, they die. And so when that thing opens, they're like, uh-oh. And they realize they're still alive.
That's right.
Something has changed. And so they are able to go back there now. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, what temple do we go to? Hey, we go to Him. That's where the temple is, in heaven. Anytime, and you think, when you think about this, this just gets you on shouting ground. I mean, you think about I don't know who the oldest person in here, don't matter, but from the oldest person all the way to the youngest, it don't make any difference. All they have to do,
yeah,
bow their head. Dear Heavenly Father, you right up
there.
And the Lord, you have the Lord's undivided attention.
Amen.
It wasn't that way in the Old Testament. The resurrection has changed everything. Now, look at this one. Number two. 51, Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple rent twain from top to bottom. The earth did quake, the rocks rent. Verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and come out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, don't you know that was some kind of day?
Yeah.
You imagine, we're talking about saved people now because it says they slept. You imagine these folks, whomever they were, obviously they were Old Testament saints, obviously. And many, not all, but many of the bodies arose. And the graves were opened, and many, and they walked into the city, Jerusalem. Walked into Jerusalem. You just can't imagine that. Can you imagine somebody in the Old Testament, you know, Noah, just starts walking through and people were like, ain't that the guy that built the boat? Wasn't that a long time? There he is, like, hey, I got it. And then, just, you know, all of a sudden, of course, they resurrect. So the second resurrection is those in Matthew 27 Who they were?
I don't know.
It says many, not all, but many of them, which slept, arose. Now you remember 1 Corinthians 15, Christ the first fruits, and every man in his own order. So you got these, and then you got some more later on. So that's Christ every man in his own order. Now, let me give you the third. The third one is found in Ephesians chapter number 2. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter number 2. And this is what you call a spiritual resurrection. Ephesians chapter number 2. And look at this one. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, look at verse number 1. And you have he quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let's look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ain't that good? Now, you say, okay, what's that talking about? What kind of resurrection are we talking about? All right, before you got saved, you think about this, before you got saved, you were actually a walking dead person. You wasn't alive. You said, well, I was walking around, going to work, eating 3 meals a day. Yeah, on the inside, you were spiritually dead. And that's just the way you were. Matter of fact, there you are, let's say, there you are, just David, right there. That's the way every unsaved person, they're dark on the inside, void, darkness upon the face of the deep. And then one day, you heard the gospel. You heard the gospel of the cross. And all of a sudden, you were made alive. And you had he quickened to make alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin. So here you are. When you got saved, up from the grave you arose, you were made alive, spiritually. Yeah. You were dead, but now you've been quickened and made alive. That's you as a saved person. You've been resurrected on the inside. Now the lights are on. Now the understanding of the scriptures come to life. That's me. So you can... picture this is resurrection number 3, and that is a spiritual resurrection. Does everybody understand what I mean when I say that? And here's the deal. Before you got saved, your outward was alive. Your inward was dead. Okay? When you get saved, you want it right reversed. Your inside is alive, and you want this part dead.
Amen.
Now, when I say that, let me clarify what I say. You remember Paul said this, I die daily.
Right.
In Galatians 2, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what I mean by this. I'm saved. And I want to be crucified. In other words, my old man, I want it to be crucified.
Right.
You say, but I don't have an old man. Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah.
Let somebody pull out in front of you at the red light or a stoplight, and you'll meet him pretty quick. I mean, you'll just have a sudden urge to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's my old man.
Yeah.
And you want that guy to die.
Amen.
And so what happens sometimes when I get to acting ugly, I have to talk to myself and say, hey, stop acting like your daddy Adam. And start acting like your father, Christ, on the inside. I want old Adam to die so I can live. You know, sometimes in baptism, it's a picture now, but a lot of times I've heard, you know, people when they baptize, they say, buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. Well, that's pretty good. Buried with Christ. Because I want to be crucified. I want to be dead outwardly. But inwardly, I want to be made alive. And so that's the way that thing is. Before you got saved, the inside's dead, outside's alive. You get saved, you want it right reversed. And that's the way it is. Now, number four. Look at 1 Thessalonians. If you're in Ephesians, go to the right. Excuse me. No. Yes. Right. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I'll give you another verse to go with this one. And it's 1 Corinthians 15. About 50... 8 or so, I think. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, this is what we call the rapture of the church. This is a resurrection. And this is why I've got it drawn this way, and we're fixing to read about it. This is what we call the resurrection. This is number 4. This is the resurrection of the church, the body of Christ. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, talking to saved people, concerning them which are asleep. Notice he refers to saved people as just being asleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, I know we cry at saved people's funerals. Okay? We do. It's natural to do that. But can you imagine how it would be if they wasn't saved and you have no hope of seeing them ever again? That's what, look, it says that you sorrow not. If I've got a saved person there, I don't have to sorrow. I will see them again. Even as others which have no hope. That's really bad. Now, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. Noted, in Christ, save people. Those people out at Fairview, wherever, in the cemetery, they have to be saved in Christ. The dead in Christ, they're going to rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where?
In the air.
In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's why I've got it drawn this way. There's a difference in the rapture and the second coming. You see the red line and the purple line, separated by 7 years of tribulation. This right here is what we call the rapture of the church. We're going in the clouds to meet him where? In the air. That's how I know there's something different here than that. Because second coming, Jesus is coming to this earth and set foot on this earth in Jerusalem, just like this coming Sunday, Palm Sunday, he rides that donkey into Jerusalem. Well, this right here, he's going to ride a white horse into Jerusalem. That's what the whole picture was about, this coming Sunday, Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He comes on that white horse. He's coming to Jerusalem. Riding in that white horse, he's going to sit down on the throne of his father David and rule and reign with a rod of iron. And they're crowning him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he rode in the donkey, they crowned him with a crown of thorns. This time they're crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
They should have done it here, but they didn't. And hey, God's going to give them another chance. They're Jews, and they'll say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, that's I give you another verse, 1 Corinthians 15:51 or so, and I think it says something like, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." I've always said I'm going to put that verse over the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All right, it's a slow-moving train. Okay. It's Wednesday night. All right, okay. Now, let's look at number 5. And number 5 is going to be found in Revelation chapter number 7. Thereabout. Revelation chapter number 7. And in Revelation, we got Jesus Christ raising from the dead. Number 1. Number 2 is those that came up after his resurrection. Number 3 is a spiritual resurrection when you got saved. And then number 4 is the rapture of the church. Now, let me say something while you're finding Revelation 7. This red line, number 4. The only people, I don't know if I got time to explain all this or not, but anyway, the only people that go up in the rapture are from the cross to that. Okay? I don't know those of you who can see that on the camera, but from the cross to the rapture. Remember, Christ says, Christ's first fruits and every man in his own order. Old Testament saints come up somewhere different. Tribulation saints come up somewhere different, and so on and so forth. Okay? This is for church age saints, right here. And that's who goes up there. Now, Revelation 7, and let's look about, let's see what 14 says. Let me see here. Luke 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" Verse 14, and I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, "These are they that came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them," so on and so forth. So, let me see what chapter 11 says. See if it might. Okay. In 7, somebody's in heaven going, "Who are these people?" And they said, "These are they that came out of great tribulation." So, sometime. Somewhere in the middle of the tribulation, there's going to be a resurrection of tribulation saints.
Yeah.
These are they that came out of great tribulation. That'll be number 5. Tribulation saints. Now you say, will there be people saved in the tribulation? Yes. You say, how? Matthew 24:13. "He that endureth to the end, the same should be saved."
Amen.
Don't let anybody pull that verse on you today.
No.
That verse has nothing to do with you today. Matthew 24:13, if you want to write it down and read it sometime, and read the context of what it's talking about. It's talking about tribulation. "He that endureth to the end, the same should be saved." I'm not trying to endure to the end right now.
Amen.
To get saved. I'm already saved.
Amen.
Now, are there some things I'm enduring? Yes. I endure, a lot of things just like y'all do. That's what I was talking about. "He that endureth to the end." You say, explain that. Very easy. You know how you're going to get saved in tribulation period? You're going to have to endure without taking the mark of the beast. And that's going to be tough. You say, "Oh, that'd be easy. I'll just tell the government." No, I ain't taking the mark. Okay, tell them. And they'll cut your head off. And you'll be a martyr, a tribulation martyr, for the cause of Christ. So if you're not planning on getting saved now, which I would advise you to do, and if you make it in the tribulation period, which if you've heard the gospel, you're not going to get a chance here anyway. I ain't got time to tell you about that. That's a whole different lesson.
Amen.
But once you've heard the gospel, God will send a strong delusion, you believe a lie.
Amen.
These are they that came out of great tribulation, washed their robes in white, and they have endured to the end. They didn't take the mark, and they got their head. You say, but they don't cut people's heads off anymore. Have you been watching the news lately? That's coming full circle. You know, the give a take, we're like, man, that's old news. We don't even do that no more. And now, they're coming back and doing it again. Especially over the Middle East. Cutting people's heads off, man. So, these are they. Tribulation. They've endured to the end. And the same should be saved. A lot of people, you know, they try to put Matthew 24. You have to write and divide the Bible.
Amen.
You can't just pull a verse and go, oh, okay, I'm going to claim that. You can't. You got to make sure, who's he talking to? He may not be talking to you.
No.
And they try to pull you over here and go, yeah, you got to endure. You got to work. You got to go to church. You got to do all this stuff. Well, all that stuff's good to do, but I'm not doing it because I want to go to heaven. I'm already going to heaven.
Right.
Those tribulation sites will have to endure the end. That's number five. Now, let's look at the sixth one, and this is a pretty good one. Look at Ezekiel. This is all we have to go to the Old Testament for this one. Ezekiel 37. This is a great story. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. And let me look. Let's read verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there was very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Y'all remember the song, old dry bones. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And verse 6 says, and I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you. That's all that's talking about. That word, don't let it bother you. Talking about flesh and muscle and all. He's going to build that and put it back on the bone. Now, hey, some of you have asked me about cremation before. And worried about, you know, maybe a family member got cremated. How in the world is God going to put... Hey, if God can put all that back together, don't worry about it.
Amen.
I mean, he made man out of dust of the ground. So, he's never having a problem, you know, that. Let me fast forward and look at verse 11. And let's get the explanation of all of this. Verse number 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So, y'all know who the bones are. Behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, notice, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Y'all see that? Ladies and gentlemen, don't worry about the nation of Israel. We ought to, they should be our friends. The nation of Israel, people have tried to wipe them off the map, and nobody's been successful yet.
Amen.
Oh, what's his face? Abba-dibba-jod, whatever his name was. He tried, and he couldn't do it. And the Six-Day War, and Israel whooped everybody in 6 days and didn't leave much to take. So you better not mess with them. Why? They're still God's chosen people. Now notice what they said. The bones said, hey, we're dry. We're just bones and we're dry and we're laying here in the graves. And you know why? The nation of Israel, because they rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, God will cause them to be in this valley of dryness, of no skin, no muscle, nothing. And God says, if you'll hang on, I'll cause breath to come upon you.
Right.
I'll breathe life into you. And I will raise you up like a mighty army. You imagine all these dead Jews out here in the graves. They're going to come up and march into that holy city, Jerusalem. Here, do y'all ever sing the song? I don't know if we've sung it since I've been. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about that verse right there.
Yeah.
It's a great army going to rise up. It's going to be the nation of Israel. God promised them a land, and they're going to get it. Jerusalem means the city of peace. Shalom, the end of Jerusalem. Shalom, the city of peace. And there will be no peace in Jerusalem until the Prince of Peace comes. And when he comes, he's going to raise up that mighty army. And they'll march into Jerusalem and live forever and ever and ever as the nation of Israel in their own land. And people were trying, I've heard on the way down here, I had the radio on, and they're saying, hey, they're going to try to take land from so-and-so, this, that, and the other, and make a peace treaty. And you better leave them alone. Every time they do that, something bad happens over here. I ain't got time to go into the history of all this, but I'll just give you one. 10 days after Clinton, I think it was Clinton or Bush, one of the young Bush, whichever one, was over there with Arafat, and he was fixing to try to give some of the land to the Palestinians. Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. And all of our dignitaries that was over there had to come back over here to handle the crisis. In other words, God's saying, get out from over there, get back over here where you belong, be a friend to them. Every time. They ain't got time to go into all that. Anyway, that's number six. Is the nation of Israel. Then, number seven. And we're done. Look at Revelation. Revelation 20. And y'all have heard this one many, many times, so we won't have to deal with it a lot. But, Revelation 20. And this is at the end of everything. After the kingdom and all. It goes back to 1 Corinthians 15. Christ's first fruit, every man in his own order. Every man in his own order. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Every man in his own order. Why are you finding Revelation 20? The Jewish harvest. I give you this. The Jewish harvest had three parts to their harvest. They had what they called the first fruits. They had what they called the first fruits. It was three parts. They called the first fruits, then they called it the harvest, and then they called it the gleanings, the leftovers. There's the first fruits, there's the harvest, and then the leftovers, the gleanings, go up and on and then the tribulation. All right, look at verse 11 of chapter 20 of Revelation. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heavens fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Notice they're not asleep, they're dead. Stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up of the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is number seven. And number seven happened somewhere out here in the middle of atmosphere somewhere. All of death and hell will be resurrected to go stand before the judge. Now, the way Revelation 20 puts it is, says, I saw a great white throne, and he that sat upon whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. In other words, it gives the idea that this person, a lost person, is standing in outer space. Nothing under them, nothing around them, and they look up, and there's a white throne right there. And the judge is sitting on the throne, which is Jesus Christ. You imagine, suspended in outer space. Don't know what's holding you up, and you look up, and there he sits. And he says, okay, I need to know what your name is. He's looking, he said, I don't see your name in here. You know, and it's not a matter of, I mean, you're just standing there, midair, out in the middle of space. And when he can't find your name, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I mean, just like that, and you start falling. Now, that's a sad day. That will be a sad day. That's why we preach, try to get saved. Trust Christ. Before it's everlasting too late. I'll give you this before we go, and I have before, but I'll do it again. I'll do it sometimes when you're video. You say stuff repeatedly because there's somebody maybe watching that didn't hear a couple weeks ago when I said the same thing. But hail is in the center of the earth. The lake of fire is a totally different place. When people die right now without Christ, they go to hell, the center of the earth. What's in the center of the earth is a ball of fire. If you study science at all, right under our feet is a burning ball of fire. That's where they're at. Right now, that's where the rich man was in Luke 16. But at the end of this thing, all of that, what's below our feet, hell, death, everything will be resurrected and delivered up to the great white throne. And then from there, they go to the lake of fire. And I always give this example. This is the only example I can think of. If a person gets arrested for, let's just say, capital murder, they get arrested for that. Well, they're going to put them in the county jail until and hold them until they go see the judge. Once they go see the judge and the judge picks up the gavel and says, we sentence you to life or death or gas chamber, lethal injection, whatever, they don't send you back to county jail. You go to the penitentiary and await. Well, the same thing. Hell will be like the county jail. And don't tell the sheriff I called his jail hell. But anyway, and then the lake fire obviously was, I don't know where it's at. I've always thought maybe the sun cast you into the sun, but I don't know. I don't have any idea. That's the only lake of fire I know out there in the middle of it. But who knows what's out there? We're just a little bit old speck. And once you get up, I mean, there's no telling how massive heaven's going to be.
Right.
I don't know what's up there. I don't know. I'm ready to go, Bo. Whatever. Roger, be sure and cut both of those for us, if you would. All right, let's have some questions. Anybody have a question or comment about anything that you heard? Maybe you have a question about something. Maybe I wasn't clear about something. Charlie, you got one?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
Do not.